When President Bush took office early in 2001, he put tax cuts at the core of his plans to jumpstart a flagging economy with more spending. Now, this marked a clear departure from the Clinton administration, which had relied on reducing the deficit to lower interest rates and to fuel growth. The architect of the Clinton economic strategy was Robert Rubin, who'd spent the previous two-plus decades as an investment banker on Wall Street, first as chair of the newly created National Economic Council, later as Secretary of the Treasury. Mr. Rubin guided economic policy for 6.5 years of the Clinton administration. He's now written a book about his career in and out of government with Jacob Weisberg. The book is called In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington. He joins us from our studios in Chicago. Mr. Rubin, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be with you, Scott.
Mr. Rubin, there are people in the administration, but even in the world of economists, that cite the recent upturn in the economy as evidence that the tax cut strategy is working. How do you analyze the increases we've seen in several fronts economically?
Yeah, no, I think the answer to that, Scott, is that there is enormous stimulus in the system. It comes from the Federal Reserve Board's accommodative monetary policy. It comes from Homeland Security spending. It comes from defense spending. Independent analytics studies suggest about 15 or 20% of it come from that portion of the tax cuts that come into this period. But you could have accomplished any level of short-term stimulus you wanted with tax cuts that were temporary and were directed toward the people most likely to spend the money, lower and middle-income people. I think you could also have had more jobs effect. I think more of this stimulus should have been directed toward state aid, since the states are in straitened conditions, for infrastructure and schools and the like, and I think that probably would have had more short-term job effect.
Could you remind us, why are deficits such a bad idea?
Short-term deficits, temporary deficits at a time when the economy is doing badly, can be a very effective way of stimulating recovery. And I think had I been in the White House in the beginning of the Bush administration, I probably would have advised the president to put in place temporary tax cuts to create short-term stimulus for recovery. The problem is long-term deficits that we have now created, and they are very, very substantial, that create a very serious risk to our economy by virtue of the high probability that at some point they will create higher interest rates. They will have the same effect that the deficits of the 80s ultimately had, which is undermine consumer and business confidence, and they could also undermine the confidence in the international capital markets in our policy regime.
Mr. Rubin, after serving in an administration for 6.5 years, what kind of political feel do you have for the prospects of anybody running for office who says, and if you elect me, I'm going to do something to get rid of these tax cuts?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think the answer is that deficit reduction does not resonate politically. Margaret Thatcher once said that the reason that countries tend to have unsound fiscal policies is the politicians in office like to cut taxes and spend, and they can figure that the price that will be paid for that is going to be on somebody else's watch.
Yeah.
And I think Margaret Thatcher was right. I think our hole is now so deep, our long-term fiscal hole is so deep, that it is only going to get resolved by a president bringing together Congress in a bipartisan process and then together making these politically very, very difficult decisions. Though let me say, the quicker you do it, the better, because the longer this goes on, the worse it will get.
You say in your book that in this country, we're just not given enough of a background or education in economics.
Yeah, I really do believe that. I remember something President Clinton said to me once. We were in the Oval Office, and we were talking about his economic strategy, and it was a broad-based, multifaceted strategy, deficit reduction, trade liberalization, investment in people, a lot else. And he said, you know, it's very difficult to get this across to the American people, because what they really think of when they think of economic strategy is some single answer, some, so to speak, silver bullet. He said these are extraordinarily complex issues. They require strategies that are commensurately complex. And the American people simply have not been educated to understand the issues and policy choices that one has in response to those issues. Mm-hmm. So I think we should have a mandatory economics course in secondary school. And I think what our country needs is for a much broader media effort that reaches out to the American public in general and gives them the tools with which to understand the choices politicians are making, because I think that would create a much more pressure on the politicians to make sound decisions.
I gather in reading some of the excerpts of your book that you were not prepared for, I think you term it, the degree of personal vilification that goes on in politics.
Yeah, You know, that's right. I mean, I had been around political campaigns for a long time, starting, with President Carter in 1980, but really even much more Fritz Mondale in 84. So I'd seen a lot of political life. But I must say, I really had not been prepared for the level of personal vilification and ad hominem attack that can occur in Washington. People debated us not only on the issues, which was totally legitimate and they were real and serious issues, but then they started attacking me personally. Actually, my wife, who had somewhat mixed views about Washington, yeah, called me and said that she'd heard I was running a risk of being impeached. She wondered how she could testify for them. I think in jest.
Well, you've really begun to address yourself to the problems of global poverty, and just not from the humanitarian point of view, but you think there's really a strong economic argument to be made.
I think there is a big moral issue, but I think we have an imperative self-interest in effectively combating poverty around the world, because what happens in these developing countries and the poor countries can affect us in all kinds of ways. If a poor country can't deal with its environmental problems because it simply does not have the resources to do it, that can create transnational environmental problems that affect us. If a poor country's people become alienated and the country as a consequence becomes a haven for terrorists, that obviously can affect us. I think we have an immense self-interest in very substantially increasing our foreign assistance. Couple it with trying to induce good policy in developing countries, and much more effectively than we are today, combating global poverty.
Mr. Rubin, thanks very much for being with us.
It's been very, very nice to be with you.
Robert Rubin, a chair of the National Economic Council, Secretary of the Treasury in the Clinton administration. His new book, written with Jacob Weisberg, is In an Uncertain World, Tough Choices from Wall Street to Washington.